Hey guys, today we have another awesome episode of The Burr Show. I'm your co-host, Chad Gallagher, joined with Joel Kraut of Burr Loans. Buy, rehab, rent, refi, repeat. Meet the inspiring people using Burr to create wealth and their tactics so you can too. Let's do it.
Hey, Rashana, good morning. How you doing?
Good morning. I'm great. How are you?
All right. Thank you. Well, thanks for jumping in with us. We appreciate it. I know you are definitely all over the place. You make my schedule look light. So Rashana Chad was just out with Keller Williams and spoke nationally for them, which is, you know, quite a big deal. How many people were you in front of on stage there?
10,000.
Oh, I was talking in the office here. I'm in central Pennsylvania. And I was telling someone I was about to go interview you, and the people in our office knew who you were. So you're like a celebrity, Rashana.
No, yeah. Well, thank you for that intro, Joel. But yeah, I work and I just show up for the community. You know, I do a lot of community events. I started out doing a lot of free events. I started out doing a lot of podcasts. I used to co-host podcasts as well. And so when people always ask me, like, how did I get into speaking and speaking on so many platforms? It's funny, but I didn't realize it. But really, podcasting was the way to that, because it's a way for people to, you know, obviously you're able to get your story out there online, and then people are able to see what you have to say. And then the more and more, you know, that gets out there in the algorithm, people are saying, like, oh, okay, you know, this person has something to talk about. They have a story, they have a background, they have something that they can teach. And then from there, more folks, you know, started reaching out for events. So I've been professionally speaking at least, goodness, maybe 6 years, six or seven years. Yeah.
That's great. Mm-hmm. And so you go, you're out of Chicago, you go by Flipping in Heels. Is that like your business, or
I go by Rashana Scott. So I'm also a realtor. I'm a real estate broker, and I have a team at Keller Williams, and it's called the Rashana Scott team. So I have agents that work on my team. I have an assistant transaction coordinator, and then Flipping in Heels is also a business that I own and run, but it's more so a community for women real estate investors. So it's kind of like two hats that I wear. You know, one is on the just being a real estate broker, you know, in that piece. I do work with a lot of investors, you know, as a realtor. So there's a lot of conversation around that, around like house hacking, first time home buying, even commercial, you know, properties as well. I do a lot of multifamilies because Chicago, you know, we just have a pretty good market for multifamilies. And then on the women investment side, that's more of just like passion projects, you know, that I do through there. So whether it's an event or a workshop or a Zoom or online or, you know, in person. I actually did a 3-city tour in March for Women's History Month. And Joel, that was one of the, it just so happened that weekend, I was also doing the Chicago one. And then I did Charlotte and New York also that month. And this year was my first year doing it. It was a great turnout. I've been traveling and speaking for 4 years or so now. And I wasn't sure yet about like my reach, you know, outside of Chicago. Like I knew, you know, like people knew me, of course, from going, you know, to other cities to speak and things like that. But I wasn't sure my reach or my influence to host my own event. Right. But it was a great turnout. We probably had about 60 or so women in each city. We had over 100 registrants in each city, but we probably had about 60 or so, 50 to 60 women that showed up, which I think is a, you know, great turnout. And it gave me the confidence too, right? That, you know, I know that my brand is known and recognized, you know, outside of just Chicago, but to actually have people, you know, show up and support and want to be there, you know, I was really grateful for that. And those are free events too, right? I actually didn't charge for that. That's also why you know, Joel and I have, you know, had a number of conversations because I'm like, hey, I'm looking to, you know, just explore different partnerships and things like that so I can continue doing more of this. But I think that's also, you know, you want to make sure that you have a proven concept and you have the audience that's going to support that too. So you go into different markets and you test different markets to see how they're going to respond. And yeah, got a great response.
Roshana, how'd you get started? Can you give us maybe the, you know, I can't imagine you were growing up dreaming about real estate your whole life. Maybe you were.
No, I was not growing up dreaming about real estate. We did move around a lot when I was younger, just over different neighborhoods across the south side of Chicago. And whenever we would go to open houses and things like that, I knew I always loved that and enjoyed that. But I still was never like, oh, I'm going to be in real estate. There was a career day when I was about 16 in my high school, and there was a guy who talked about he was a manager at AT&T. He said, you know, even though I'm a manager at AT&T, I don't depend on AT&T to provide for me and my family. So he also owned 400 vending machines across the city of Chicago. He explained the process of, you know, what it took to fill them up, you know, the process of them emptying out, you know, replenishing them in the whole system. And that was my first introduction that I can recall to entrepreneurship, right? Learning and even hearing those first words of financial freedom and things like that. After that, I was like, okay, well, I want to be an entrepreneur. I want to be a business owner. I want to be successful one day. I don't want to depend on a job, you know, to provide for me and my family. This was around the time of the crash. So there was a lot of talk around the market, even though I didn't understand it because, you know, I was in high school, but I knew like the economy was not in the best of shape. And a lot of people were losing their jobs. There were a lot of layoffs, you know, that were happening. Fast forward a couple of years, I was probably like 18 or so or 19 now. And I was working at my first job. And we were a family-owned store. So a lot of our customers were repeat customers. We, you know, first name basis, they came in all the time. And it was a health food store. So a lot of older repeat customers. And one of them, when he came in, we were talking one day about real estate and properties and things like that. And he was a property owner. He was a landlord, and he was telling me how he would give these gifts to his tenants. And one of the books, you know, that he would give them is Rich Dad Poor Dad, because he wanted to empower them to eventually become homeowners. Next time I saw him, he came in, he brought me the book. So after I read the book, I was like, oh, okay, well, I already knew I wanted to be successful. I already knew I wanted to be an entrepreneur. I read Rich Dad Poor Dad, and I was like, okay, real estate is going to be the way. And then after that, it was just a lot of figuring it out. It was like, okay, you know, I couldn't go home and have the conversation about real estate. That conversation just wasn't, you know, being had, or even, you know, entrepreneurship. I wanted to get started on the investing side. Like, I started my first business when I was 19, but I still didn't know what I was doing. I built up a business line of credit and all these things and still didn't even know like what to do with it. And then I was like, okay, well, I want to figure out this investment side, but I'm young, I'm broke, you know, I didn't know much. So I was like, well, let me at least get my license. That seems like an easy, you know, barrier to entry. I could just get licensed and then I can start at least working in real estate. And so I did that. I did that for about a year, and I was only working in leasing, but I was also in school full time, and I was working full time, and I was doing real estate on the side, but I was only working with landlords and tenants. So I wasn't making a ton of money. And so I was like, well, I don't really like the leasing side. I'm going to focus on the investment side. And so I joined like a guru program. I put $20,000 on a credit card, which I didn't even know I could be approved for $20,000 when I was like 22, 23. But I enjoy, you know, join one of those guru programs where, you know, you go first go to the 3-day weekend, and then there's an upsell and another upsell, another upsell. And so I joined one of those programs, but the great thing about it was the education piece. So, you know, the support wasn't really there for what I really wanted to do and how I wanted to grow in real estate. However, it did expand my mind to become more well-versed in real estate. So I was introduced to short sales and subject twos and auctions and tax liens and, you know, all these things that I was learning early on at a young age. And after that, I invested into my first flip in 2015. I was a private investor. Someone allowed me the opportunity to invest in their project. And then after that, I had a couple more partnerships on flipping. And then I ran a tax lien investment fund in Northwest Indiana for about a year and a half, where we raised capital. And then we went to the auction and bought some tax liens. And then I went back in 2017 and got my broker's license, because I was like, you know what? You know, I have this experience in real estate. Like, I'm not where I want to be yet, you know, on the investment side. That was my love, right? It was like, again, remember, I read Rich Dad, Poor Dad. You know, at this point, I'm probably 25. So, you know, I have been on this trajectory of trying to figure it out, right, while I was still working and in school. So that's why, you know, when people always ask, like, well, how did you get started? It's such a, to me, it's a loaded question, because I'm like, well, which version do you want, right? Do you want the version where I'm like, a lot of those, like, people see the success now, right? But a lot of the, like, 8 years was like figuring it out, you know, really going to events. I was showing up to all as many free workshops and seminars as I could, just, you know, hungry to learn. But like I said, I went back and got my broker's license in 2017. I was still working at the time. And then I went full time 4 years ago in 2019. So full time in real estate. And then I've been able to just leverage, you know, the experience of both being a full time realtor now and an investor.
I'd love to know, so do you, it sounds like you flip homes and maybe also burr some properties. Do you do both?
Yeah. Yeah. So at first, I was flipping more before, you know, the shifting market that we entered into now, that we started going into, I would say last year, hence the name of Flipping in Heels, right? So I was flipping properties. I wanted to just document my journey and share that story. Like I mentioned, you know, even having experience with acquiring properties through the tax sale. And then after flipping so many properties, I was like, well, it's, you know, time to start holding some, right? Because you can't pass down a, you know, a check, a flip check. So then I started developing this strategy for what I wanted to hold. But yeah, so yeah, a little bit about,
you know, it's interesting. A lot of times people who flip, just flip. A lot of people who hold properties, just hold properties. Do you see it as an advantage doing both?
Yeah, absolutely. I guess it, you know, obviously just depends on your market, but yes, as I mentioned, you know, developing a strategy for what the types of properties that I like to hold. So I'm the type of investor where, one, you know, I only want to invest in no-brainer deals. And for me, a no-brainer deal means it currently has equity. Then there's equity, you know, on the back end. And it's just multiple exit strategies that you can do with it, right? I'll give you an example. One property I purchased for like $385. It was a 3-unit. Now, granted, I could go to another area in Chicago and I could buy maybe an 8-unit. You know, for $385 for $400,000. But, you know, I'm buying in areas that, one, you know, if I had to, that I would be comfortable living in, I would be comfortable visiting, going to, and things like that. And then areas that that definitely have room for growth, right? So this particular property is right by the university, right by the hospital. Public transportation is everywhere. But there's definitely a change going on, you know, in the neighborhood. But as is, when I acquired that property, like I said, it was $385. It could have sold probably for like $500, right, at that point. So it's a no-brainer deal because it's in an appreciating market, right? It does have equity. Like, it's the deal that everybody's looking for. but those are the deals that I'll wait for. I'm not aggressively building right now, but when those deals come, I can recognize it and say, oh, this is a great deal. And then, you know, make sure that I'm in position to move on it. But yeah, that was at that point in time. And then I put some work into it, and it was mostly cosmetic that was needed, but I ran in and I rehabbed a couple of the units. I put a little less than like $100,000 into it, and then it just appraised at 640. So I was able to go in and, you know, put in, you know, a little bit of sweat equity, a little bit of work, a little bit of capital, and then increase the value even more. But again, you know, yes, I could potentially be doing that also in different areas and maybe have a larger unit count. Like, that's only a 3-unit, But that those are just the type of deals that I like, you know, and developing, you know, more and more of that strategy. Whereas on the other side, you know, there could be a single family that comes along and it's a great deal. And, you know, the numbers make sense as well. But I'm not interested in holding single families in my portfolio. So if you're in a market where it makes sense, yeah, absolutely. Right. Because, you know, you can take that flip capital and then you can put it into a no-brainer deal.
I love the phrase no-brainer deal. How'd you find that deal? I mean, that's pretty amazing. 100K equity, like up front.
It was a referral, actually. So my cousin, her best friend was moving out of state. She had a couple properties in Chicago that she owned. I actually walked it as a realtor. It was a listing appointment. And so we walked two properties that day. And, you know, the one I said I was going to list. And so I went home and sent the listing agreement. And then the second one, you know, when I saw it, I went home and I subtracted my commission, what I would have made, and I sent an offer. So, you know, it's funny because when people say, like, yes, you know, being a realtor and being an investor are two completely different job descriptions, but obviously they cross, you know, industries. I'm always reminding realtors that you more than likely have access to the deals first, right? So make sure that you can understand and recognize what a deal is and what a good deal is. So if you're walking it as a listing, but actually it's a great deal and you're in the market to purchase, you know, you should be sending an offer instead of a listing agreement.
First, a word about our sponsors.
Hey guys, this is Chad Gallagher, your co-host here. And when you are in market for your next loan, highly recommend Burr Loans. I actually used them on one of my latest loans. It was actually an interest-only product, which I really love because if interest rates go down in the future, you can refinance the product. This is a great team. Joel and guys really know their stuff. They understand investing and have some awesome products for investors of all types. Check them out, Burr Loans.
I've done more of this kind of stuff, and I found that some of the most successful people have both a service business, in your case, a realty business, and an investment business. I did the same thing. So I built a property management company. My question to you, though, is you made a comment that you think the skill set needed is different to be an agent from an investor. I'd love to hear you kind of riff on that a little bit. Like, what do you think the differences are?
Yeah, absolutely. And even additionally to what you're saying, Joe, like a lot of agents, they don't have the confidence. I've actually been a number of realtor actually on their transactions, right? Because a lot of them may have been trained to just do traditional single family home residential transactions, right? And not to say that even, you know, buying a two or three or four unit is so much different, but a lot of people, they just don't, they don't know, have the know-how or the difference or what to look for. And like I said, and having that confidence. And then to answer your question, Chad, when you talk about the skill sets, I think one of the biggest things is running numbers. Of course, you know, construction can be a barrier for everybody. I think that's probably one of the most intimidating things, you know, when it comes to rehabbing and renovations and purchasing. The other thing is being resourceful, you know, and I talk about that a lot, how important it is to be resourceful, not only just as a realtor and building out your team, but again, especially as an investor and having multiple people that you can call and go to, you know, for a number of things, or, you know, having the trades and things like that. Even on the realtor side, you know, there's things like, you have to be really good with people, right? You have to, we are in a very much so a people business, and not everybody has that skill set of managing and handling different personalities. There's a number that, you know, risk tolerance can also be another skill set. That's the difference when, you know, it's going to be important to have. If you're a realtor, I mean, if you're an investor and you're flipping properties, you know, having a high risk tolerance versus someone who doesn't, someone who's more so, you know, who's maybe just not as risk averse. You know, like I meet people, you know, who are even twice my age, who are like, man, you know, you know, seeing you speak, you know, has given me the confidence to like flip and things like that. But people, you know, not a lot of people are open to, you know, just taking risks. The hustle, right? You, it definitely takes a good amount of hustle, you know, to become a successful realtor.
Something tells me you're not lacking in hustle. Is that fair?
No. You know, I'm actually trying to do less hustling. You know, I want to scale, and that's a different level of business growth, you know, that you get to when leadership development, when you have a team and now you're training and you're, you know, building people up underneath you. But yeah, no, a lot of my early success as a young realtor was a lot of hard work and hustles, and it was not a lot of systems and processes. So I had to learn that the hard way as well, and kind of take a break and slow down and then go back and build. Because again, I'm first generation entrepreneur. I didn't know so much, you know, what I know now. Like, this is the way to start a business, to run a business, to hire and fire and to document, you know, a lot of things, you know, I had to learn from scratch. So yeah.
Roshana, where the heck did you get the confidence to make these leaps of faith? I mean, that's what I, you know, whenever I talk to people, I think of themes that I'm hearing from them. And for you, it's definitely this just constant self-confidence to be able to keep jumping up to the next level. And I can hear how you're talking and you're not done. I mean, you're thinking about now syndicating and building out teams and jumping to the next leadership. You're still in your young 30s. You clearly didn't have entrepreneurs as parents. Where'd this confidence come from? Like, where?
You know what? So I've always been told that I'm tenacious. So I guess, you know, I just have that tenacity, but also I was the youngest of six. So I was the baby. And so I was always trying to keep up, you know, with my siblings. So I think I was like, my mother told me, she said, I came in this world grown. So at three, I was literally like a baby boss, you know, just always, I'm just curious, right? Naturally curious about who, what, why, how, you know, how things work, how things, you know, just the natural curiosity. I will say I definitely didn't like always have the confidence, even though I had that fun, outgoing, you know, run everybody's side of me. I definitely didn't just walk into that confidence and build in business. I had to build that, but that came from me often being the youngest person, oftentimes in a room, and sometimes the only Black person. So being a young Black woman in a lot of these spaces that were very intimidating, I had no choice but to build my confidence, because, you know, just being like a mouse in the back of the room where I'm quiet, I'm sitting still, you know, I'm there to learn, but I'm not really talking to people or interacting with people, because I don't want them to ask me what I do. Like, hey, I'm still working a part-time job, or I'm still in school, right? I'm here just trying to figure it out. I don't have it all together. But what I realized was that the more I was learning, and like I said, going to those guru programs and learning all that information and now being in these rooms, well, now maybe I don't have the experience yet, but I know a lot. And I can talk about what I know and I can share what I know. And then after having those conversations, people are like, oh, like, yeah, she's young, but she, you know, she knows a thing or two, right? And then when I started doing renovations and I started getting involved with these partnerships, then that experience, you know, taught me, right? We know experience can be the greatest teacher. And so I would say, you know, to overall answer your question, well, how did I get this confidence, or where did I build this confidence? It truly is trial and error. You know, like I said, it probably comes, like I said, with that natural curious side of me of just always wanting more, you know, going bigger, better, you know, what's next. But yeah, a part of it was definitely because I didn't have it. And I also got taken advantage of, right, too. That's a whole nother podcast. You know, just being young and just being so eager to learn, but then realizing and using my youth to my advantage. So now, even when I see people who are young, who are going to conferences and things, I really commend them for showing up, because I know how intimidating it can be to show up in those spaces, because I've been there. But, you know, I commend them and I encourage them to keep showing up, because, you know, again, all of those things will just naturally start to develop.
You know, you mentioned you got yourself a mentor. I'd be curious, you know, who was it, or not necessarily their name per se, but what was their background and how did you guys connect? And what did you find most valuable, or especially early? And even now, you probably still speak with them and maybe bounce ideas or even partner with them now. I mean, how did that come about, you know, for you?
Yeah. So first starting out very, very early on, I had two mentors. One was a friend, a high school friend. She and I, we were on the dance team together in high school, and her dad, she was being raised by her dad. And so he would always, you know, I would see him pick her up from school and things like that. And I would hang out at their house. And I just remember him. I don't know if he was in real estate at the time, but I knew he had a real estate background. Mind you, this was at the around the same time when I read Rich Dad Poor Dad. So I was like a senior in high school. And once I was like, okay, I think I want to learn and figure out this real estate thing. Then I asked him, like, hey, I want to learn real estate. Will you teach me? And he was like, Are you sure? And I was like, yeah, I want to do this. And he's like, okay, meet me at the library on Saturday. We're going to sit down and, you know, we're going to have a conversation. So he was the very first one who broke down what it even meant to be an agent and what it meant to be an investor and a difference and loan originators and this and that and all the things. He helped me build up, like I said, that business line of credit. But he wasn't actively involved in a business. And so when I was doing everything that he was telling me to do, I was like, okay, what's next? And he got me to a good point, but I was ready to like keep going. Then I went and got my license when I was 21 to do leasing. And that was a friend of mine who was a very successful real estate agent. And she and I met at my church. And I just knew she was a successful real estate agent. I didn't know much else. But, you know, then I talked to her about it. Like, hey, I think, you know, I want to get my license. She said, yes, you know, I could join her team. So I joined her team as a leasing agent. And to answer your question, like, well, what I learned there, it was so key. Just about like being an entrepreneurship and being a business owner and showing up. Like I just remember her being very polished in the office, you know, 8 a.m. every day. Always dressed professionally. Like I learned those good habits and traits, you know, always like making, you know, cold calls from this time to this time, like having a set schedule and things like that. Like those are things that I picked up on that I still have to this day, you know, a level of professionalism, you know, when I'm working and doing a business. And like I said, I only worked with her for a year, but she even was like, hey, you know, this, even Million, you know, Real Estate Agent, you know, which is a very popular book by Gary Keller. I remember this was, you know, 10 years ago now. She, you know, pointing it out and saying, hey, read this and do this and do that. So I'm very grateful to, you know, have had those influences in my life early on, even though they were, yes, you know, I'm still in communication with them today. And much of my journey has since, you know, I've come across many other different mentors. And like I said, a lot of trial and error and figuring it out, making mistakes and even, you know, losing money or whatever the case, or getting into, you know, bad partnerships. But even them, you know, laying and setting those the foundation early on, it was definitely intricate to, you know, where I am today.
Rashana, how the heck are you managing contractors? I mean, I think you kind of mentioned it being tough, being a young female, even a young Black female in the real estate space. To be honest, I'm not a female. I'm not Black. I'm sort of young. I find managing contractors to be really tricky. I struggle with it for sure. I'm curious, you coming at this from, you know, you're not the average looking real estate person. And I'm curious, how the heck are you, how are you getting these contractors to respect you? It's really fascinating to me.
Yeah, I would say, well, it's tricky for me too. So I don't have like a full, I'm not doing the level of production to where I have like a full on team and things like that. So it's still very much so trial and error also. The respect piece, I would say, is it goes both ways, right? I'm very much so, you know, an energy person. I'm a conversation person. So, you know, as I'm walking contractors through and I'm getting multiple quotes and multiple bids, you know, I'm looking at your mannerism from day one, even in scheduling the appointment, right? Are you following up, right? Are you adding it on your calendar? Or do you, you know, just what is that level of professionalism, from day one? to knowing, you know, whether I want to or don't want to work with you. And I don't feel like I have necessarily an issue. I believe there's an equal respect for sure now when it comes to hiring contractors and working with people and them knowing, hey, exactly what I want, you know, how I want things to be. And then us, you know, having that conversation and working out like the pay schedule and things like that. But even early on, I didn't have those contracts where I would have in place where it says, like, I remember I hired a contractor one time and they had like the scope, it wasn't even the scope, but it was kind of just like a write-up, and it was on like a one pager, and it was like, okay, sign at the bottom. And then I sent them back like a 13 page contract, you know, but I had to learn that. And most people, you know, are okay with that level of, you know, doing business, but it's like, no, you know, I've been through so much. And so again, experience is the greatest teacher when you start to learn things about draw schedules and, you know, and lien waivers and things like that, and things that you're like, okay, actually I need to have these certain clauses, you know, in my contract so I don't get taken advantage of, because you hear about all the horror stories of working with contractors and things like that. But yeah, definitely that energy piece, that energy exchange, that professionalism. I think, you know, just trying to have discernment and being a good judge of character, but I don't have like a go-to team. So like the deal that I was just talking about for the gut rehab, like I have individuals who I respect and who they respect me also, that I'm going to have, you know, build it, but I don't have like a go-to where I know for a fact, like this person is going to do it. Like, no, let's walk through, let's have a conversation. Let's see what the energy is like. Let's see, you know, are you going to walk through and suggest certain things and say like, hey, have you thought about this? Have you thought about that? You know, how are we in a working relationship, you know, how well do we communicate with each other from day one? Because, you know, there's going to be things that come up, there's going to be change orders, there's going to be a number of things, right? But I think that mutual respect has to be there from the beginning with any business or working relationship that you do. Like I won't, you know, just deal with disrespect. I actually have a friend who has a contractor who does great work, but I won't hire him because he worries the hell out of her. And, you know, she's like, oh, but he does great work. He has the crew. They'll be in and out. But I'm like, yeah, but what does it cost you? You know, like mentally, right? Like there's financial peace, you know, too, that you can have and also come out with successful projects on the other end.
And I just love that it's, you know, you're clearly a grinder. You're going to be wildly successful. Count me as a reader of your book when it hits the New York Times bestselling list. If folks want to reach out to you, which I'm sure they will, what is it, Instagram, or what's kind of the way that you want to communicate with people?
Yeah, Instagram is great. I'm Rashana Scott everywhere. The link to schedule a call with me is right there in the bio. And I can also be found at Flipping in Heels, which is, like I said, my women's real estate investment community, where I teach real estate investing nationwide through like events and, like I said, Zooms and things like that. But yeah, if you just search for Rashana Scott, I pretty much can be found on most of the, you know, social media platforms.
It's awesome. But by the way, I also love your attention to detail on the brand side too. The days of the kind of the long tail and just people messing around and doing a deal are there. It's going to be brands. Brands will be the next generation of real estate. And you're building out some awesome ones. And I think it's really, really great stuff. Thanks for joining.
Thank you. Sure. Thanks so much for having me.
Thank you very much for jumping on with us today. Appreciate it.
Cool. That's a wrap, Rashana. Right. Thanks a lot.
Thanks for listening to this edition of the Real Estate Hackers Show. If you've not yet become a member of Real Estate Hackers, you can do that for free at realestatehackers.com. Get access to all of the amazing real estate hacker deals from incredible vendors, a ton of content and materials for you, the investor. You can follow Real Estate Hackers on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok. If you can give us a 5-star review for the podcast, I would personally really appreciate it. We read every review, and thank you so much for helping us grow this community for you, the real estate investor.